Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Jesus tells a wee little parable which we may not be very familiar with. And he's talking about the time when we will see him return again. And he says, but about that hour, about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. And here's the parable. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. In our household, normally around October, Pippa asks me what I want for Christmas. It has been known that that's happened a little bit earlier in the year. Christmas shopping starts in January. There was one year where all the Christmas presents were shopped, bought, wrapped by the end of October. Wasn't anything to do with me. But she asked me what I want for Christmas. Apparently, my parents are asking. Or perhaps the kids. It's October. I've got no idea. But this year, I had an idea. My parents were asking. And I had an idea of what I wanted to get. Sometimes I have an idea and it's too late. I'll say in December, oh, I've got an idea of what I might like for Christmas. And she says, too late, it's all bought and wrapped. But this year I had an idea. And it just so happened that my idea was on offer on Black Friday. So it arrived because it was my parents giving it to me, but we, you know, do it all. And so it arrived in our household, and I wanted to check whether it was really what I wanted. And there were a couple of different options. So I got it out for testing to see whether it really was what I wanted. Of course, the returns are within 28 days, so I needed to test it to make sure that it was going to be okay, because after Christmas would be too late. And I began playing. Pippa kept on asking, have you decided yet? No, I'm still trying it out. I'm not quite sure which one I want. I'll confess, I'm not very good at waiting. I did actually put it back in its box, and it's gone away, probably wrapped, so that I can't get it out and do some more testing. It was an extraordinary act of will not to go and get this Christmas present early, but to wait for Christmas. In fact, it's not even Christmas, it's the 28th when I see my parents. Those 3 days are really important. So this season that we enter into just now is Advent. It's not Christmas. Christmas happens, well, really, Christmas happens in 2 weeks' time. This is Advent, and it's Advent means arrival or coming. And it's a season where traditionally Christians are invited to wait. We wait for the arrival of Jesus. Stanley Hauerwas, I keep coming back to this quote from him, and he says that Advent is the recovery of how to live in a world of impatience as a patient people. Shall I read that again? Because it's not up on the PowerPoint. Advent is the recovery of how to live in a world of impatience as a patient people. Now, I'm not very good at waiting, but there are different kinds of waiting. Imagine with me just for a moment that you have just taken a slip road onto a motorway that you discover is absolutely chock full of cars. And they're all crawling along at 10 miles an hour. What's the first thing that you do? Well, if you're me, the first thing you do is you try and assess which lane's going faster. Am I the only one? Oh, come on, I can't be the only one. Come on, hands up, confess. There's a few. I see that hand over there, Shirley Gatt. I would have thought better of you. So I, just joking, Shirley. I look for the fastest lane. So I get in whichever lane I think is faster, only to discover that it grinds to a halt after about 100 yards, and then the other lane seems to be moving serenely for minutes. That kind of waiting is so frustrating. But there's another kind of waiting. Imagine waiting in a queue for a sports game or a concert. I remember when we were waiting for the train to take us to the Olympic Stadium for an athletics evening, or waiting in the queue to get into the Olympic Park. There was a huge sense of anticipation and excitement. I didn't mind waiting then, because there is the hope of what will come. The anticipation and the excitement. And I think that's the kind of waiting that Advent is all about. And I want us to reflect a little bit on different kinds of Advent. There is, firstly, the Advent when we wait for Christmas, remembering the time when Christ came. We read the prophecies. Next week, we're going to be looking at and reading a number of these prophecies. Do invite your friends, by the way. It's going to be a great morning. Hopefully, visual, interesting, drama, song, kids, adults, all kinds of stuff. So do invite your friends tomorrow morning. But we read the prophecies about this coming of the Christ, the prophets and the saints of old who were there before Jesus came. They were yearning, longing, waiting. We read of the prophets longing to be freed from slavery, to return home, longing for reconciliation. We read and see images of deserts blooming into life, the hope of rain falling, the prophets longing for dawn to come after a long, long dark night. We read of Isaiah crying out in chapter 64 of his book, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you," this longing for God to come and break into the situations that they find themselves, the longing for this king, this Messiah, God's rescuer who would come. This waiting is spoken of by Peter in his book when he says the prophets searched intently and with the greatest of care, but ultimately they realized they weren't speaking to their time, but a future time when this salvation would be made known, and was made known in a baby that was born in Bethlehem. The author of Hebrews speaks of the heroes of faith who saw the future and what would happen, and yet they welcomed them from a distance. And none of them received what was promised. This longing, this yearning, this waiting for the arrival of the King, of the Messiah, of the Rescuer. In the Christmas story, we have Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man, and he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. And when he sees Jesus, he cries out, "My eyes have seen the salvation, have seen your salvation." Anna, a prophetess, an old woman who'd lost her husband many years before, then saw Jesus and she spoke about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When you read the stories and the prophets of old and the saints of old, you get this sense that people were longing, desperate for God to come in the midst of their life and their country and their political circumstances and everything else. They were longing for God's deliverance and freedom and rescue. And we celebrate this coming that has been the fulfillment of the cries of many people seeking God to break in afresh. The first Advent, waiting for the coming of Christ. But there is a second Advent. It's a time when we wait. So firstly, it's a time when we remember the waiting. We remember the coming of the King. We join in with those saints of old. But there's also a waiting that we do with anticipation for another Advent. A time when Jesus will arrive or come again for the second time. Right at the end of the Bible, the last prayer, almost the last few words, we read this: "He who is a faithful witness to all these things says, 'Yes, I'm coming again soon.'" And here's the prayer: "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." It's a cry that rises from God's people. We see it echoed in 1 Corinthians 16, right at the end of Paul's letter, where Paul says, "If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Oh Lord, come," is the cry. "Oh Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus." You got Paul in 2 Timothy, where he says, "There now lies in store for me this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only me, but all who have longed for his appearing." There is a cry, I believe, that is amongst God's people that says, "Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus." In the midst of pain, disappointment, and trials of life, we long for another appearing of Jesus, another Advent, for Jesus to come and make all things right. This year, we've had our fair share as a community and individually of disappointments and trials. We've had members of our community ill, some untimely, painful deaths, squeezed finances, personal trials. And these are the times when we cry out, "Oh, our Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus," as we long for the day when he will appear again and right all wrongs, heal all diseases, make whole everything that is broken, untangle everything that is tangled, bring light to things that are darkness. We long for that appearing of Christ again in the midst of some of the pain and the heartache that we experience. And Advent is a time when we wait in anticipation and remember the hope that we have of that future. We will always have these trials and illnesses and disappointments. And so Advent is a time when we cry, we groan for this second Advent, this second coming or arrival of Christ. The passage that we read right at the beginning in Mark 13, that's the context about this coming, this Advent. Jesus is speaking about his return and encouraging his disciples to be alert and to wait. But that alertness and waiting isn't just for Christ's second Advent. There is, I think, a third Advent. It's a coming or arriving of Christ now in our lives. It's an alertness or a waiting for Jesus to come to us in our situations, our lives, here and now. Advent is a time when we are waiting for Christ to come to us in fresh ways. And we are invited to be alert and waiting and looking for Christ's coming to us. Now, we've done some of that this year. We've had 10 days of prayer, concentrated prayer and seeking God. Thy Kingdom Come, a national prayer initiative. The first year that we've got involved. We're going to repeat that again next year as we continually bring ourselves before God, crying and looking for Jesus to come to us, for his advent or arrival or coming to us now. We had another week in the autumn where we were praying for breakthrough in the CCE family. And we give thanks for his moving amongst us. We wait, hoping expectantly for Christ to continue to come in more fresh, new ways amongst us. And we come back to the parable that Jesus tells us. When the owner went away, he assigned different tasks to everybody. He gave everybody different jobs, but to the one who was at the door, wait until the owner returns. He doesn't know when he's going to come back. Maybe it'll be evening. Maybe it will be midnight. Maybe it will be when the cock crows, or maybe it will be dawn. But wait, be alert for the coming back of that master, of that owner of the house. Don't be found asleep when he comes suddenly, unexpectedly. And that is so often how God, how Jesus comes to us now. It's suddenly, unexpectedly, in ways that we don't anticipate, in ways that we don't expect. At times when we don't expect it, Jesus comes to us and we are invited to be awake, alert, ready, looking, anticipating for the coming of Jesus to us now. That chapter in Isaiah 64, which we read out just earlier on about the prophets longing for that first coming, it goes on and says in verse 2, For when you did awesome things that we did not expect. So often God surprises us with things that we did not expect. You come down and the mountains tremble before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no eye has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Who wait for him. God acts surprisingly, unexpectedly, in ways that we could never imagine for those who wait on him. This Advent teaches us how to wait with anticipation, expectation, hope, and dare I say, even excitement that God will act on behalf of those who wait for him. God acts in surprising and unexpected ways. I want to tell you some stories of how I've seen God acting in surprising and unexpected ways. I wish I could tell you some stories that would be a counter to some of these good news stories, times when I have failed to see God
But because I didn't see it, I can't tell you it. Get your head around that one. So I'm going to tell you some stories of when I have seen God act in surprising and amazing ways, just in the last 2 weeks. So not the last week that's gone, the week before, I was away with an organization that I'm part of a training team for that trains church leaders, vicars, pastors, ministers around conflict. This particular organization has been struggling financially. And they've been running a deficit of about £40,000 a year. Ouch. And it suddenly hit crisis. They've been trying to restructure and to do things, but that takes time. And the director has been under an enormous amount of stress. And those of us that are part of the training team have, in a sense, been carrying some of that with him because we really believe in what this does. It's amazing the training that people get in desperate situations, particularly church leaders who are on the verge sometimes of giving it all up, sometimes even of suicide. And the prospect of this training organization and some mediation they do as well was up for grabs because of the financial situation. We were in the midst of a week-long training where there were one or two other things kind of going on, and we prayed on Thursday night, God, would you surprise us tomorrow? The director woke up to a text where somebody had given £20,000 to this organization. God, surprise us. Amazing. There were one or two other things, which I won't go into the details of. But we were like, whoa, thank you, Lord. Unexpected, surprising, Jesus comes to us. The other day I was up in Inverness at King's Fellowship, church much like ours. I felt really at home there because they carry some of the same values and vibe that we do. And they've really developed the prophetic. And I was going up to do some training on the Sunday night, but also speak on the Sunday morning. And I know they've had one or two quite big-name speakers, so I was feeling a little bit insecure going up and speaking on the Sunday morning, thinking it's just little old Rupert. And I was feeling a bit insecure about that. And I was thinking, oh, I've got this, I could just do this really, you know, inspiring, amazing sermon. And I was thinking about Ezekiel 47 and the river flowing. And I was thinking, that's going to get everybody going. That will be great. And it flows in for the healing of the nations and mission and blah, blah, blah. And then in the middle of the week, I felt the Lord say, I want you to speak on courage. Really? Courage. No. This would be a great word, Lord. Ezekiel, you know, have you read it? It's really be a great word. I think it would be just up their street. You know, they'd love it. They'd lap it. It'd be a great word. Now, I want you to speak on courage. I want you to speak on Peter walking on water and getting out of the boat. I was like, oh, Lord, that's so cliched. This would be a great word. Don't you think this would be a great word? Now, I want you to speak on courage, about getting out of the boat. Like, oh, Lord. Okay? I'll do this. But I was standing there on Sunday morning in the worship thinking, what am I doing? This would have been a great word. A little bit unsure that I'd really heard God. But unsure about what I was doing. And there were one or two prophetic words that had nothing to do with what I was about to speak about. And I was thinking, this is getting worse, Lord. This is not helping. This is really not helping. And then somebody stood up and says, I'd like to just push this prophetic stuff a little bit further. She said, I think that there are many of us that are gripped by fear. And God is inviting us to step out. And I was like, I'll take that, Lord. That is amazing. Thank you. Then the next person stood up and said, I watched The Shack last night. And the scene in the shack when Mac was on the boat in the middle of the lake and Jesus walks across water and Jesus invites Mac, that's what he's doing to us today. I'm like, God, that's amazing. That is amazing. I mean, of any scripture, you pick the one that I'm doing. Nobody knew. That is amazing. Thank you, Lord. So I was then doing something on courage, talked a bit about encouragement and how encouragement is to put courage in someone. So often we encourage people after they've done something, whereas encouragement is really before they do it. You can do this. You can do it, Lindsay. You can do it. You know you can do it. It's putting courage in so that they have the courage to do something that they might not otherwise do. So foolishly, I said, we'd like to pray for anybody who would like some courage. And what we want to do, thinking there's a great team of prophetic people, I talked to the team leader there, and he said, oh yeah, we can get some of our prophetic people forward, that's fine. And we were going to pray for people and prophesy over them to put courage into them so that they could step out. Then he said to me, why don't you join in praying, Rupert? Thanks. Now, James, last week, no, 2 weeks ago, James was very rude about me. I don't know if you remember, but I was here and I was actually catching a flight, so I didn't even have the chance to confront him afterwards. But I did hear this. He said, last time I was preaching, I said to James, why don't you come and get some words of knowledge? And James thought, well, why don't you do that, Rupert? Well, I just want you to know, James, that at Inverness, that's the position that I was put in. So this lead team leader there said, why don't you just get involved praying? I was thinking, oh, Lord. Now, I don't find this stuff easy. And particularly recently, it's felt like wading through treacle. Can I hear God's voice for other people? It's not been an easy season for me to do that. So somebody came up and I prayed for them. I prayed a nice prayer. And they sat down again. And then somebody else came up. And as they walked up, I just felt overwhelming sense of grief. And I felt the Lord say, 14 years ago. I wasn't quite sure whether it was 14 years old or 14 years ago. I was like, oh, flip, Lord, what do I do with this? I can't just go, what happened 14 years ago? So I was like, Lord, you're going to need to help me here because just, and I was totally surprised because I was not expecting it. So I said, Lord, you're going to need to help me here because I cannot just go straight in with this stranger with 14 years ago. There's a huge amount of grief that you're experiencing. And it was overwhelming grief. I just was overwhelmed by the sense of grief. And I felt like the Lord showed me this picture. Again, I was like, I don't know what to do with this. And I felt like the Lord showed me this picture of the tomb, Jesus in the tomb, and the grave clothes. And I just felt he was saying he's inviting her out of the tomb and to leave the grave clothes behind. So I go to her and I say, I just feel like Jesus inviting you out of the grave. Out of the tomb and to leave the grave clothes behind and to leave your grief behind. And her eyes just went boing like this. And I thought, okay, we're on a roll here. Let's try this out. So I just think there's a huge amount of grief. Something that happened 14 years ago. 16 years, she said. It was 16 years. Eyes like this. I was like, whoa. Okay, 14, 16? Near enough. I'll take it. The next person came up. She told me that she'd been lost her husband in the summer and she wanted prayer. So again, I was like, okay, let's pray. Prayed a nice prayer. Then I felt the Lord say, you need to tell her to get out her paints. I was like, I can't do that. She's just lost her husband. What if I'm wrong? Tell her to get out her paints. Like, I've not done this stuff for years like this. Really, seriously, it was totally surprising. And I saw this picture of her at an easel painting, and I felt like God would bring some healing for her grief. So I wrestled with this for about 3 minutes, and which felt like an eternity. And then I did, you know, all those caveats that you do. This might be wrong. Please just, you know, I just, this odd phrase has just kept coming around my head, and, you know, it may be wrong and blah, blah, blah. I just feel like the Lord is saying to you, you need to get out your paints. And she half bursts into tears and half bursts into laughter. She was an artist. Her husband was an artist. She's been struggling to paint for the last 4 or 5 months. God suddenly comes in surprising ways. And my final one was I looked at this couple in the worship and I just felt the Lord say, again, honestly, this stuff doesn't really happen very often. It really hasn't happened for a long time. But I just had this image of a phoenix. And you know the Harry Potter film or story where he goes into Dumbledore's office and Dumbledore's not quite there and the phoenix, I've forgotten the phoenix's name, I'm sure it's got a name, suddenly bursts into flame and disappears. And then Dumbledore comes in and Harry's all distraught and says, oh, the phoenix has just burst into flame and disappeared into ashes. And Dumbledore goes, oh, I'm so glad. He was looking so ill, been so ill for such a long time. And he will rise again into a beautiful phoenix. And I just felt like that's what the Lord was saying to this man who was married. They came forward for some prayer. And again, I just shared that. And there were some things that were going on in their lives, some choices and things that had happened. And the wife said, do you know, that is amazing. Because yesterday, the Lord spoke to me about this person being a phoenix, my husband. Like, what's the chance of that? Amazing. God comes to us suddenly, unexpectedly. I tell you, I came away more encouraged than these people did. It's amazing. I was not expecting it. But when we wait, God will do amazing things. Amazing things. So I wonder what it is you're waiting for this morning or this Advent. What are you waiting for God to do? You know, there's some things where I feel like, oh, God, that's amazing. You've done that. That's amazing. Thank you so much. And then there's some other things where I'm going, God, I'm still waiting here. I'm still waiting. So what are you waiting for? What are you looking for Jesus to come to you for? Where would you like to see God's presence or God's intervention? Maybe it's home or family or finances or your future or success in something or healing or breakthrough. Or for God to use you, or for God to break into someone else's life, a house, to lift depression, to calm your anxiety, to find a new job, a decision you need to make, a house to live in, friends to share with, a mentor to teach you, a door to open. What are you waiting for this Advent? What are you on the tips of your toes, looking expectantly, excitedly, hoping for God to come with his presence and his intervention? So I want to encourage us this Advent and into next year to be alert, waiting, expectantly for Jesus to come.